Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Okay. Where are we holding today? Today is, we're coming off of Tisha B'Av, Sunday Shabbos Nachamu. I have to apologize in advance. It's going to be perhaps maybe a shorter share today, a little less material and a little less time, as Baruch Hashem, I have my son's seventh birthday party today. He's very excited to celebrate his seventh birthday. I offered him to say the shir this morning. He told me he's not holding in the sugya, but he will definitely take a rain check. So we will definitely pencil him in for a different slot to say the shir, and I can go on vacation. I also have a Baruch Hashem, I have a vart in the mountains. A niece of mine just got engaged, so I have a vart in the mountains to go to after the shir today. So Baruch Hashem, a very, very busy day, all for good things, but definitely we'll have to try to move things along today to cover as much ground as possible. Just very bekitzer, we know that this Shabbos was known as Shabbos Nachamu, based on the famous words in the Haftarah, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. And again, there's much to discuss and much to focus on, but I just think for a second, the greatest Nechama perhaps might be the fact that we're learning here Torah this morning. The greatest Nechama that after all the Churbanis, and after all the tragedies, and after all the many, many pain and suffering experiences we had as a nation, we're Baruch Hashem able to learn Torah, even with Corona, we're able to learn Torah via, you know, Zoom and other technologically savvied abilities. So maybe that's perhaps the simplest Nechama, is for a Sunday morning to be able to sit and learn after a Tisha B'Av and after Shabbos Nachamu, just to be able for us to get together and learn and continue our learning, maybe is the greatest Nechama that is out there. But again, there are many messages for Parshas Eschanan. Obviously, the theme, in my humble opinion, of Parshas Eschanan is all about davening. It's all about learning from Moshe Rabbeinu how to daven, what to daven for, not to give up on your tefillah. So many essential messages that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us about davening, about how to daven, how to continuously daven, don't give up. And as Moshe Sternberg pointed out, Moshe Rabbeinu only stopped davening because Hashem told him, you have to stop davening. But Hashem has never told any of us to stop davening. So for all the things in our life that we want, that we think is best for us, we keep on davening because why not? We don't stop until we're told you can't daven anymore. And Hashem has never yet told any of us, as far as I know, that we should stop davening. So we continue to daven, and we should continue to daven. We should learn from Moshe Rabbeinu how to daven. There's one word I heard from Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, and he quoted from the Ben Yoyada, and I think it's so powerful. It says in the parasha, we say it in davening, Bashamayim mima'al ve'ala oretz mitacha. So he said from the Ben Yoda, Bashamayim mima'al means when you're talking about things of spirituality, always look up. Always look how you can be better. How can I learn more? How can I daven better? How can I be more like someone above me? I have role models in my life that I can look up to. For those who joined us for the kinnis, and I thank all those who did join us for the kinnis. I know it wasn't perfect, the video was a little off, and the camera, and there's a lot of issues, but I definitely thank all those who joined. I did have a chance to take a look at the screen, and I saw some familiar names and familiar faces. It gave me a lot of chizik. I hope we grew together from a day like Tisha B'Av. So for those who joined us, again, I do thank those who came on, even if it was only for a short time, but hopefully we all gained together from Tisha B'Av. We mentioned on Tisha B'Av the Arzi HaLevona, we mentioned from Rabbi Belsky Zatzal, that these are our leaders, these are our role models, right? In life, we all have to have people that we look up to. Now, just a few days ago, right before Tisha B'Av, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky was quoted as endorsing President Trump. Again, I'm not here to get involved in political, even though I like to get involved in the political stuff. But today, I just don't have the time for it because we're very short on time today. But in any case, if someone asked Shmuel, but how can you endorse him? He's such a not nice person. He says such mean things. So Shmuel said, that's sometimes what happens with people. And I'm not endorsing his midas, but I'm endorsing his policy. Now, we live in a generation today where we have to be mechanach our children, not necessarily to look up to be like the president. And really, this is really Bill Clinton added this equation to the world. We don't want our children growing up to be like Bill Clinton. We don't like our children growing up to be like a lot of the presidents. We, Baruch Hashem and Klal Yisrael, have much better role models. We have Torah-dik of people we can look up to. After I mentioned that in the kinnas, you know, you go into a Jewish home, you see what hangs on their walls. That's, you know, what's important. They have pictures of the grandkids, pictures of the kids, and they have pictures of Gedolim. This is what's important to us. This is what we value. We don't have a picture of an athlete, a guy who can throw a basketball, a guy who can kick a football. We don't care about these people. A guy who can act in a movie, they're not important to us. We're not in the spoil from these people. They're not our role models. We don't daven every day our children should grow up to be like, you know, a basketball player. We daven our kids should grow up to be good Jews. And we have role models for them. And therefore, Bashamayim Mima'a, when you're looking for spirituality, always look above. Look up to someone who you respect, look up to someone you can grow from. But V'al Ha'aretz, If it's something of gashmius mitachas, look who, what someone has less than you. If you're always concerned about maybe I don't have enough, but just look down, you'll find there's someone that has less than you, and therefore you'll appreciate what you do have. I think it's such a very powerful message, and maybe even a Shabbos Nachamu message. That very often in life we walk away, we feel like we're missing so much. And we are, sadly, a lot of people are missing a lot of things. I'm not belittling this notion. A lot of people have lost their jobs because of the latest situation. A lot of people have died. This is not a small thing. But when we reflect on our lives and we want to say, where am I holding? Sometimes the best option is to look downwards. Say, look at the guy next to me. Yeah, okay, I'm only working part-time, but this guy does not working at all. I took a pay cut. This guy lost his salary. You know, my house is okay. I don't have 12 bedrooms, but, you know, the other guy, Nebuch, is foreclosed on his house. There's always, sadly enough, there's always someone that has it worse than us. And when we're trying to find in the gashmius world, we should always try to look down and see how lucky we are, how much we have. But when it comes to spirituality, we should always look up. We should never say, well, I'm better than the guy next to me, but I'm not anywhere close to the guy on the other side of me. So when it comes to spirituality, we should always be looking up. When it always comes to gashmius, we should always be looking down. Okay, that's a very quick wrap-up for the Chumash. Now, we're holding over here we're holding on our 76th Shia under Belaz Demila. As we get closer to the new year, the new, you know, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur time, it's going to be 2 years that we've been learning Rebbe Loz of the Mila. So I'm going to take a poll, and I'm going to leave Michael with another job, and I know he's going to be thrilled to hear this one. But we're going to just ask a poll if anyone wants to continue learning Rebbe Loz of the Mila, and or does anyone have a different Masechta they want to learn? I'm open to choices, just with two Tanoim, of three Tanoim. I don't want to learn Yevamos, I don't want to learn Baba Basra, no Kachim, and no Erevin. Anything else is free game. But if anyone wants to continue learning Rebbe Loz of the Mila, we could. I don't know how many. Again, it's a different type of Masechta. It's not like we did Kedushin and Gittin. The Lomdus is a little different. But if people are happy, I'm more than happy to continue. If people have suggestions, I'm more than happy to hear suggestions. So again, we'll probably stick with it either way, probably till through what we call Elulzman. We probably wouldn't switch before after Sukkis, but just in people's mind, if anyone has any specific lima they want to learn, or maybe they think would be a te'elis for our shir, because again, we are coming in on 2 years on Rebbe Loz de Mila, 76 shurim. I think we put a dent in Rebbe Loz of the Mila. Of course, there's more to learn, but I definitely think we covered a lot. We did a lot of Gishmak Sugyas. So I'm willing and I'm open to hear of any new ideas, of new Sugyas, or new plans if anyone has for our upcoming next year. And Mr. Hashem, we should get to be in person. I'm definitely hoping that should be sooner rather than later. And we could discuss options. I just see David, you're with us this morning.
I'm on.
I just want to wish you a very special Mazel Tov.
Thank you.
On behalf of the myself and the Shir, I want to wish a mazel tov to David on the birth of his granddaughter. And what was she named, David?
Elka Rivka.
After your?
My mother's name was Elka.
Beautiful. So, and Mr. Hashem, she should live up to that very, very important name, and she should continue on the beautiful legacy that she saw from her parents, and you saw from your parents. And Mr. Hashem, she should only be a source of nachas to you, to your family, and to all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. So we're holding over here. We're doing a little bit off the...
Let me give you the name of the chola.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
Esther Sarah Bas Chaya Pesel.
Okay, so our learning today should be for a refuah shleima for Esther Sarah Bas
Chaya Pesel.
Okay, so being that this week was a very difficult week because the first time we've been able to sit and learn Lomdus was first Matzi Tisha B'Av, and I don't know about you, I was a little wiped Matzi Tisha B'Av. So I must admit that this year was prepared on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. So you have to put that, you know, Hakdama. We spoke in the past about if you're really allowed to learn regular Torah Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, but I made the Cheshbin that if I didn't have a chance to sit down and learn this sugya, I don't know A, if I would learn anything else, and B, I don't know if there'd be time for the shir this Sunday. It was such one of those hectic weeks, the way Tisha B'Av fell out. So this shir was prepared on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. So with that Hakdama, hopefully we didn't do anything wrong. Hopefully the Torah should come out 100% correct. So I just want to talk about a topic which we kind of danced upon, we touched upon, but we never really sunk our teeth into it. And I figured today, because it's a little bit of a shorter shir, it's a little bit of an abridged version of our shir. Again, we're still going to go probably to around 10:15, 10:30, but it's not the regular shir. We're going to talk about the shayla. The shayla is what happens when you have a baby that's born, and his two brothers before him died machmas mila. And obviously a very tragic story. We don't hear about it so often these days, Baruch Hashem. But again, if you read the tshuvas of the Achronim from the 1700s, 1800s, it was very popular. It happened, sadly enough, quite often. you know, children dying in infancy and attributing it to the milah. So we learned already, we know there's a Gemara, what happens when you have two boys who die, machmas milah, what do you do with the third son? So I want to discuss today, both from a alumnusha standpoint and a little bit of a halachic standpoint, what is the status of mesu achav machmas milah? That's the title of today's shir, mesu achav machmas milah. So we start off with the Gemara in Yevamos. Source number one. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us a machloikis tanoim. My Gemara says, the Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Mala harishoin, you gave a bris to the first baby, umeis, and the baby dies. Sheni, the second son, umeis, and he dies. Shlishi, what do you do with the third baby? Loi tima. He does not get a bris. Divrei Rebbe. He does not get a bris. He does not get a bris forever, or he does not get a bris on day 8, or he doesn't get a bris until he shows us that he's strong enough to survive his bris. How do you read this word in the Gemara? Loi tima. Does that mean he never gets a bris? That's it? He's exempt from bris milah for the rest of his life? The kid's going to be 20 years old. He's going to be, you know, strong as can be, healthy as can be. But no bris, because your two older brothers died machmas milah. How do we understand the words of Rebbe? Then the Gemara continues, Rav Shimon Gamliel loy meshlishi timol revi loy timol. So again, they both agree la halacha, that if you have a case of meso achah machmas milah, you don't give the bris. The machloik is just as how many babies you need to establish the chazaka. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you need to have three babies die, then the fourth is not going to get the bris. So it's machloek is Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, what you need to create a chazaka. According to Rebbe, after two babies, that's already at least a suffix chazaka, the third baby doesn't get a bris. According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, you need to have three babies die, then the fourth baby, he doesn't get the bris. But in Lomdus, they're not arguing. They both agree that there's this concept called Meisei Ochiv Machmas Mila, that if the brothers before him died because of the Mila, we don't let the baby get a bris. The only argument is it baby 3 or baby 4? Now, the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like what? Loi Timol, you don't give him a bris ever. That this baby is going to be the exception to the Jewish law of requiring a bris Mila. And if you look in the Rishayim over there in Yevamos, number 2, Lomosh, if you look in the Rush, when the Rush quotes his Gemara, he writes, Masnisan Mani Rebbe Hidama betray Zimna have a chazaka 2 times is a chazaka. The Tanya, Mola Harisha and Umeis, Shane Umeis, Shlishi Loi Timo. He quotes the words of the Gemara, Loi Timo. Devi Rebbe, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Mishlishi Timo, Revi Loi Timo. Again, same words of the Gemara, Loi Timo sounds like never. That this baby will never get a bris. If you look at number 3 in the Rif sounds like that also. Zok the Rif. Masnisan Mani Rebbe Hidama betray Zimna have a chazaka. The Tanya, Mola Harisha and Umeis, Shane Umeis, Shlishi Loi Timo. So we have the Rush, we have the Rif, we have the Pashtus of our Gemara. Sounds like that this baby, whose two older brothers died in Machmas Mila, is exempt from the Mitzvah Mila for the rest of his life, which is very strange. The kid's going to be, you know, 10 years old. He's, you know, he's strong, he's an ox, he's healthy. Everything's going right for him, but no, he can't give him a Bris Mila because his two younger brothers at 8 days old died. It almost seems strange. Psychologically, it seems strange. You know, because his two brothers died when they were 8 days old, so he can't have a bris when he's 15 and, you know, he's the head of his wrestling team and, you know, plays linebacker on the football team. But no, but we're afraid he can't handle the circumcision. Very, very, very strange. So it comes along
Rabbi, doesn't depend on why the other ones died, if they have hemophilia. So
we're going to talk a little bit today.
That's going to just the rest of his life.
Right, so we're going to talk a little bit today of what's enough to be considered Mesa Machmas Mila. We're going to talk about that. It's not so pashut. Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later, right. But again, back then they just didn't know. All they knew was is they gave a bris, baby died. So now, you're saying, so it's something, well, let's say the blood, something to do with, you know, the procedure, and then it doesn't change how many years he is. That might be the svara. But again, with modern science, and we now can kind of pinpoint things a little better, would that have an impact on the halacha? Well, we'll believe that get to that hopefully today. Now, if you look at the Nemuka Yosef on the side of the Rif,
Rabbi, yeah. Wouldn't Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel agree that at least it's a suffix? F3.
Yes, that's the way we pass in Halacha. We'll see in the Noi Yehuda talks about it. Yes, 100%. We'll get to it.
He should say Revi. He should say Shlishi like Tima also.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. We'll see the Noi Yehuda is going to address this issue in his Tshuva, which we're going to go through thoroughly today, where he talks about such a shal. Yeah, we'll get to that in a few minutes, I hope.
But if you, when they're talking about Chazaka, is that about classical Chazaka? Or is it just that there's something to be concerned about?
So we're going to have to see. This, obviously, this is a big sugya of how to look at chazakas, and there's a lot of different types of chazakas. There's many, many different. This is really what the sugya Yevamos is talking about over there. The more of this is talking about cases of women who died, and whether or not husbands who died, was it the wife's fault? That whole shayla over there about how many times you get remarried. Obviously, those are very different chazakas. A chazaka of dying and a chazaka of a bris is very different, but the Gemara lumps a bunch of things together, and the halacha, it's not so posh that all of them are the same. Sometimes we say two, sometimes we say three. It's taka a big discussion in the lumpness of chazakas, of when we apply a chazaka. But the assumption over here is that at least it's enough to create a suffix, like Chaim pointed out, at least enough to create a suffix that we should not allow this bris milah to take place. But look at the Nemukah Yosef. Says the Nemukah Yosef, number four, the Shlishi like Timali adds, Bayim Hashmini. Zaktin Mukiyosef, when the Gemara says that you don't give the baby the bris on day three, or according to Shem Gamliel on day four, it doesn't mean you don't give it at all. It's you don't do it on day eight. Adla Acher's man, you wait, Asheyes Chazek Avlad. You wait until the baby's strong enough. The Ikka Mishpocha de Rafi Damya, because there are certain families that their blood is just, they can't handle procedures. But if you wait, the kid gets older, the kid gets stronger, he can handle it. So then Mukiyosef added to our Gemara a very important caveat, which one could argue is not mashma like that from the words of the Gemara. Why is it not mashma like that? Because the Gemara should have said, Loi Timol Hache Yischazik. If the Gemara felt like the Mukiyosef, that you just have to wait till the baby gets stronger, why did the Gemara leave it out? Ikr chasim and asefi. You can't get a bigger ikr chasim and asefi than over here. Why didn't the Gemara just say that you have to wait until the baby gets better? So l'chayra, the pashas of the Gemara is not mashma like this in the Mukiy Yosef. The pashas of the Gemara is mashma like the Rif and like the Rush that you never give the baby a bris. But this in the Mukiy Yosef is very important. The Mukiy Yosef says that no, that you just wait. And when the baby gets stronger, then you give him a bris. And that's the sheet of the Rambam as well. If you look in the Rambam number 5 in Hilchas Mila, so like the Rambam, Isha Shemol Lebuna Rishon, a lady who gave a bris to her first son, Umeis, and the baby died, Machmas Mila, because of the Mila, Shechshila Es Koichoi. The bris took a lot, made it weak. It weakened the baby, took a lot out of the baby. V'chein Mola Es Asheni Umeis, then they gave a bris to the second baby, and the second baby died. Machmas Mila. Baby by La Harisha, maybe by La Shane, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, whether or not it's from different husbands. So, Dr. Rambam, you do not give a bris to the baby in the proper time. But instead, you wait until the baby has his strength back, until he's strong enough to have the bris milah. So, the Rambam does not go like the Rush, and he does not go like the Rif, and he goes like the Nemukah Yosef. Now, you could argue that the Rambam maybe felt that the Rush, the Rif, and the Rush don't argue on him. Maybe they felt that the Rif and the Rush agree, even though they don't sound like that. Again, if you opened up the Rush and you opened up the Rif, you would not assume like this Rambam and the Mukiy Yosef. But I guess you can kvetch somehow and say that they're not muchach. They don't say not like that. They don't say anything. They're very vague. So maybe their vagueness is not a raya either way. Debatable. But Lamai said the Rambam says what he says. The Rambam writes mefurish that this baby will not go without a milah for the rest of his life. He will get a milah when? And he's strong enough. Sheigadel v'yitchazek koichay. And that's taka how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. Number 6, Zokta Mechaber. Isha shemol ben arishin umeis machmas mila shechshila koichay mamish. The Mechaber is word for word from the Rambam. Word for word. Cut and paste. Shulchan Aruch paskins that you wait at sheigadel v'yitchazek koichay. So we have a machloikis rishonim kenira, seems like. A machloikis Rambam, Rosh and Rif, versus Rambam and the Mukiy Yosef. The Rambam and the Mukiy Yosef paskin that Avadi has to get a bris. We just don't give it on Yom Shemini because we're afraid. We wait a little later. While the simple reading of the Rif and the Rosh seem to imply that this baby will never get a bris meal. Just very quickly, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he explains what does it mean, Achi Yigadol V'Yitzchazei Koichai. What's that age limit? So he says over here, V'Nirlin is Daiti, De'ena Kavona Achi Yigadol Ben Yitzgimul Shonim V'Yemecha. Says it doesn't mean he has to wait till he turns 13. The Ma Toli Zeh B'Zeh. What does 13 have to do with giving him a bris? Elachi yigado ma'at b'shanim. He grows up a little bit. V'yischazik koich lefi einei habakim. Whatever the experts think, he can handle it. Today you go to the doctor and you ask the doctor, is he strong enough to handle a procedure? The doctor says, yeah, give him a bris. V'ein shi'ur l'dover zeh. There is no number to this. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's not like a magic number that at 13 that will be... Because what's the Lashon in the Rambam? Achi yigadel. Very misleading. Right, if you look in the Nemukah Yosef, he just said Achaz Man She Yischazek. He gets strong, but the Rambam threw in one very troubling word. He said Ya Achi Yagdil. Now Yagdil can mean until he gets older, or it means until he gets a gadol, till he becomes 13. To which the Aruch HaShulchan says, I see no reason why he should be 13. Now we'll see Billy Ned in a few minutes that the Avnei Nezer quotes from a Shach and a Taz who take a paskin like that. That you wait till he turns 13, he turns by mitzvah, and we'll see why. But again, in the Nemukah Yosef, I see no room for thinking that way. In the Rambam, I can see why you think that way. Because the Rambam says an interesting word. He says, Ela Achi Yagdil. Yagdil sounds like he's a gadol. So Zotar Chosuch, no, that's not pshat in the Rambam. Don't think that the Rambam means he has to become a gadol. He writes, he says, very easy, Misha Pirish, Adil Gimel Shon, Veloy Nihiruli Klau. Veloy Kikamesh Kasavnu. And let's say we see he's still shvach at 13. It's not a question of age. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's very practical. It's a question of health. The age is an irrelevant fact. Which L'chair is very, very logical. So we have over here, we're showing him what happens when it's Mesa Ochim Machmas Mil. Okay. So the Gemara in Yavam is perhaps is not conclusive, because you can have Machloikis Rishayim handled on the Gemara. But L'halacha, just what's negated to us in Shulchan Aruch, it's very clear how we pass. Okay, now let's go to a Gemara that we've learned many times before, but we'll dig it up one more time. The Gemara over here is in Shabbos Daf Kufel Amidal. The Gemara tells us like this: the Tanya, Omer Reb Nosson Pamachas Alachti Krachei Ayom. Reb Nosson tells us a story. One time he went to the ocean, one of the beach towns. Right now's the time of the season to go. Ubasa Isha Achas Lefanei, and a lady came to me. Shemala Ben Arishin Omeis. She told me like this: she had one baby. And she gave him a bris and he died. Sheni, she had a second baby, Umeis, and the baby died. Shlishi, Evi Asi Lefon, she brought me the third baby. Reisav, I looked at him, Shu'odim, I saw he was red. And I saw his blood was not properly, settling where it's supposed to go. V'amartil, and I told the lady, Himtanilo, you should wait at Shiv Labadomai. I told the lady, you should wait before you give the baby a bris, so the blood should settle, so his blood should, whatever, get normally, absorbed into the skin, whatever that means. And takim tani loy, the lady listened, at shiniv labadomo, umaloi, so she gave him a bris, v'chaya, and the baby lived, v'yikari noisoi, nosan ababli, and they named the baby after me, alshmi. Beautiful story. Now, what's the problem with this story? Frekta achrayinim, who gave him nosan the right to give the baby, the third baby? This is a case of Meisa Ochem Machmas Mila. The lady comes to him and says, I had two babies that died in Bris. So the answer should have been the third baby is exempt from Bris Mila. What do you start telling me Shtikul Torah is about the blood? What do you mean about the blood? This was a case of Ochiv Meisa Machmas Mila. The lady said very clearly, I had two babies who died because of Mila. So the response should have been is that the third baby is exempt. What do you start telling me games about Nivlur Ba'adomai? So that's what the Nadi Behuda discusses in his Shiloh over here. I apologize for the small print. I don't know why he came out like that, but hopefully he'll bear along with me in the Noid Behuda. So Noid Behuda has a tshuva like this.
Again, why did you say that he holds it's three times, though, Rabbi?
Good, very good. We're going to talk about that. That's one of the possibilities that the Noid Behuda suggests. Yes, we'll see that in a few minutes. Very good. So let's see Noid Behuda number 9. Zog the Noid Behuda, Michtove Kibalte. I got your letter. I got your shayla. What was the shayla? Hatinuk ben Sholoi Shonim. The baby's 3 years old. Already up to his up, Sharon. Va'adayin loy nimo. But he hasn't yet got a bris mila. Okay? Why is up to Noidi Behuda? This is the Shaila presented to Noidi Behuda. Kishloisha Achim HaKoid Mimloi Meso Machmas Mila. He already had 3 brothers before him who died Machmas Mila. He was baby number 4, and his parents are waiting. And now it's time for the upsharin. And someone said, well, you can't have an upsharin before you have a bris mila. What do we do? So Dr. Noidi Behuda, Ukva Hizarti, I already warned, Shalo Yimaru Lamoilo, don't rush to give the baby a bris. Until it's known what's the baby's physical strength. Says the Nadibuda, I don't mean to be mean to the parents, but the last baby before this one also had no business having a bris mila. Baby number 3 should have never had a bris mila. Why is the Nadibuda? Keep a mila kaim long ke Rebbe, because when it comes to mila, we pass on like Rebbe, it betrays him to have a chazaka, because 2 is ready enough to create a chazaka. Upuk chazim ha also! Zakhtan Edmuda, and look what happened. It proved right. It proved that this family is raw, is a family that meso acha machmas mila. So Zakhtan Edmuda, the parents had no right to give the third baby. This is what we're holding now on the fourth baby. Zakhtan Edmuda, the third baby had no right to have a mila, because we pass on like Rebbe l'chumra, that after 2 is already a chazaka. And therefore, so Zokter Nedvuda, ani choychech shlo mala klal. I think Zokter Nedvuda not to give him a bris at all, not to give him a bris at all. Again, the Nedvuda's initial psak is this baby number 4, is going to go brisless for the rest of his life. Why Zokter Nedvuda? What's it based on? So he goes to our sugi. He says he stama amr biyivam esamach dalam bebeish shlishi loy timol. The Nedvuda learned the Gemara kipshutoi that when the Gemara says shlishi loy timol, it means forever and ever. He never gets a bris mila. So the Noid Behuda seems to be assuming, like we assumed, that's where I got it from, that the Noid Behuda assumed that the stimus of the Lashon of the Rif, and the stimus of the Lashon of the Rosh, and the stimus of the Lashon of the Gemara Yevamis sounds like Loitimol forever. Because if the Gemara meant Loitimol till a certain time, It should have said it. Again, that's the shtickle kash on the Nemuki Yosef. If the Nemuki Yosef and the Rambam are right, why did the Gemara leave that out? It's such essential information that the Gemara should have mentioned. So the Nezib Yehuda assumes that the Riff and the Rush say you don't. But now the Nemuki Yosef says, says the Nezib Yehuda, but I have a problem. The Gemara that we just quoted in Shabbat. Yes?
That's a question. So if we think that the problem here is a blood disease and probably a resistance to clotting or whatever it is,
right?
Genetic,
right?
Is it shayach that the maybe they could just cut a little piece and it would be mitzvah kikulo?
It's not going to work. It's like an all or nothing deal. Either we do the bris or we don't do the bris. If we're not going to be able to do the bris, then we're going to just leave the baby. We're going to leave the baby in oral. Presumably.
Or maybe a little bit of it at a time, over time, so that ultimately you'd be completely gemalt, but it would never be at any one time enough to trigger the problem.
Again,
That would work.
I don't know the mitzias, but again, that would probably present a problem if each part of it... It's really negated to 2 weeks ago shit, which we didn't come back to, about, you know, we say, yeshnon le mila mitchila v'atzayf. The assumption is by mila, it has to be one maisa. You can't break it up. So therefore, it would have to be one procedure, one swift cut, and the assumption is the baby wouldn't be able to handle that, and therefore the baby would be potter at this point from Mila. Now, the night
the Riff and the Rush,
yeah.
They're ignoring the Gemara and Shabbos. Obviously, the Gemara and Shabbos is brought for a reason. They're totally ignoring.
Oh, so that's what we got to get to right now. So now let's get to the Gemara and Shabbos. Oh, so says the night of Yehuda, what about the Gemara and Shabbos? Frek the night of Yehuda, the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara and Shabbos, Kufal Amidala Tanya. We'll just read it very quickly because we'll skip it because we just read it inside. Says the night of Yehuda, I don't get it. He says, the Nomo Vachaya, Hareisha hit the Lomo Achashiva Vadomai. Frek the night of Yehuda, I don't understand. How could Rebbe allow the baby to get a bris milah after the blood settled? I thought you told me that the Riff and the Rush hold baby number 3 never gets a bris milah. So the Chayre Taina the night of Yehuda, the Gemara and Shabbos is a raya that we wait to see when we're out of the woods, we're out of the danger zone. When we're out of the danger zone, baby 3 gets a bris milah. So it says the night of Yehuda that Gemara and Shabbos should be a starker raya against the Riff and the Ram, the Riff and the Rush.
Wait a minute, that Gemara and Shabbos says the reason why there's no milah is because nivla by damai.
Good. Let's get to that. Oh, very good. Says the night of Yehuda.
Right, but that's another way of saying, wait till the kid gets stronger and healthier and then do
so
it.
So let's see, Mamish.
Yeah, he's saying exactly, he knew what the problem
is. Oh, good. That's the Shaila. The Shaila that Yehuda's discussing is, did Reb Nosson know what was really wrong with the baby? Or was he shooting in the dark? Okay, we're going to get, that's Mamish what the Nehdi Yehuda is downing on. Did Reb Nosson really know what was wrong with this baby? Did he know that the other two brothers died because of blood? Or maybe the other two brothers died because they have a family illness? He didn't really know Reb Nosson. So let's, Mamish, everyone was mechavan to Nehdi Yehuda. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. Shabbos Nachum was a resting Shabbos for everyone. It's terrific. Okay, so let's see. Talk to Nehdi Yehuda. He writes like this. He was matter after the blood got absorbed. So you see that there is a time when a third brother is allowed to eventually get a bris milah. Says the Nehdi Yehuda, no. The Dilma Shani Hasim Shiraynu Boshal and Nivla Badamai. Over there, the pshat was that Reb Nosson saw the ailment. He saw it with his own eyes. He saw the problem over here is that the blood is not absorbing. Then Amina Mistama Gamar Rishonim Ayadumim. So then he could assume that the first two brothers had the same problem. But no one took note of it. Over there, what happened was that no one knew what happened to the first two babies. They just know the first two babies died. Reb Nosson was the first one to figure out what the problem over here is, a blood issue. So therefore, Reb Nosson said to himself, if it would be a regular lady with two babies with unexplained deaths, you can't give the third baby a bris milah. But this is not unexplained, says the Nehdi Yehuda. We know exactly what happened over here. And here's the chiddush. Presumably what this baby had, his first two brothers had also. Meaning if baby number 3 is having a blood issue...
That's a very large assumption.
Yes, which we'll see in a second. Which we'll see the Nehdi Yehuda has to work out. So says the Nehdi Yehuda, Avo b'isha shemol ben abishim v'sheni v'lo yibah shum simen shachlishes koyach. But let's see, have a different case. A regular lady. No blood, no abnormalities, no nothing. Regular healthy babies, and both babies die. Dr. Nehdi Yehuda, Avbeisha Shemal ben Arishin v'sheini, v'loy ha'yibashum simen shachalishas kayach. There's no sign of any weakness. Umeitzu, and then they die. Aminan shehochzuku shebenea meisim achazmi v'loy timash lishikla. Kevaldik. Says the Nehdi Yehuda, fakert. I think that Gemara is not a kasha on me. I think that Gemara might even bring home my point. That the only reason why Reb Nosson allowed the third baby to get a bris milah because he knew what the cause of the illness was. And once he knew the cause of the illness, so then he could fix the illness and move on. Mashenkin, when it's unexplained, no one knows. So then when it's unexplained, no one knows. You're not allowed to give the baby a bris. That's the Nei Yehuda's chiddush. And then he writes, V'oid yesh loimer. Ulai, Reb Nachman shehit lemoila achashiv ledoma savar. He wants to tell another pshat. This is what I think David suggested. That what the kiholzak b'shem gamliel the betlazim nehu da have a chazaka. Maybe he held that after two times it already becomes a chazaka. Ulekach lo hikpid al misa sarishoinim, and that's why he wasn't makpid on the first two ones dying. V'rak machmash lo liv lo domoy. Again, the first two wasn't enough of a chazaka. Three is a chazaka. Maybe Reb Nosson held that three creates a chazaka. So when they bring in baby number three and two already died, he's not impressed because according to him, two dying is not a chazaka. But when he sees that it's shloim nivlo domoy loy hayanicha lemoy lebesmani, then he was really nervous. Meaning he never worked into his mind the issue of the brothers. He was only focusing on what's in front of him, the issue with the baby. Now what's wrong with this pshat? Again, the Nei Yehuda wants to suggest that the svara of Reb Nosson was Reb Nosson did not worry about meisa machmas achiv, because according to Reb Nosson, two brothers doesn't create meisa achiv machmas mila. Reb Nosson's concern was this baby that was right in front of him. The baby that was in front of him presented reddish, and he was worried about a reddish baby. Very gishmak pshat. What's wrong with this pshat? The Nei Yehuda asks it on himself. He says, so why in the storyline was it important for us to know that the first two babies died? When the Gemara tells us the story, the mother comes and tells us, you should know, my first baby died, and my second baby died, and here's my third baby, and he had blood issues. According to this pshat of the Nei Yehuda, who cares about the first two babies? That's not the point. The point over here is merely because this third baby is irrelevant what happened before the first two. Because we're going like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds, two babies don't even create a chazaka. So if two babies don't create a chazaka, what happened in the past is irrelevant. All we care about now is I have a baby in front of me with a reddish complexion. So that should be the issue. Why does the Gemara even feel the urge to mention the backstory of the previous two babies? That's the ha'ara that the Nei Yehuda himself asks on this pshat. And then if we just look...
Yes. Don't we sometimes say when there's a machlokas between two rabbanim that the one that takes, let's say, either the more aggressive position sometimes is choshesh to the other side and therefore adds a layer of caution. And maybe that's what he's saying. Listen, I think the chazak is three, but lemaisa, two people died, two kids died, and in fact there is a shita that holds that that's a chazak. So at a minimum, I'll do an extra, I don't know, examination of the child prior to going ahead and saying, just go ahead and give him the
meal. But according to the Nei Yehuda, the whole issue is the fact that this baby presented red. His reddish issue. Which means it's really irrelevant to what happened before. So why does the Gemara bother telling us what happened to the first two brothers? It doesn't play a role. Now we'll see in a second how the Nei Yehuda addresses this. If you look over here, all the way over to number 10, again, I apologize for the small print, the Nei Yehuda reads like this. He says, Al-Korchach, b'mahizkir Reb Nachman klal shemola rishon v'sheinu mesu. Why was it mentioned? Again, that was the kasha. According to this pshat, that we don't care about what happened in the past because we're going like Shem Gamliel, that three creates a chazaka. And the only issue that Reb Nosson was dealing with was a reddish baby lefonenu. So who cares what happened with the first two brothers? So Zakta Nei Yehuda like this. He didn't see the first two babies. Maybe the first two were taka, not reddish. Maybe they still died. Man, we don't know what happened before. All we know is I have a reddish baby number three. What happened with baby number one and number two? No one knows. So they vazok the Nei Yehuda. V'afal pike mesu. And we know baby number one and baby number two died. The echit alomol ze achashi of l'badom. How can you even allow the bris after the blood absorbs? You should have looked into the first babies. Find out that they also have this reddish complexion issue. Elevada, he must be. Because we don't care what happened to the first two babies. Because the whole din of Meisir Achiv Zoktanei Behuda is only for the eighth day. But once the baby gets stronger, mutter, you're allowed to do the brismila. Meaning we don't care about the first two babies. Meaning Zokti Nei Yehuda, why did Reb Nosson not do a total study up on the first babies? Because the first baby's history is irrelevant. Because the whole deal of Meisa Achav Machos Mila is not forever. The whole deal of Meisa Achav Machos Mila is just till he gets better. Oh, he got better. Good. So as long as baby number three...
And that the point of the Gemara is to show that it's only two and not three?
Not the Gemara
in Shabbos. That's the point?
The Gemara in Shabbos or the Gemara in Yevamos?
The Yeah, the Gemara and Shabbos is that to show the Rav Nosson's mice is the Gemara points out that there's two to teach us that it's only two and not three.
Possibly, Tysus.
I mean that it's three and not two. That two doesn't make a chazaka.
Yeah, Tysus. Tysus Grata brings that Nakuda out of Maseches Chulin. We didn't get to it a few weeks ago. Tysus points out that this Gemara l'chayr should be a raya to the Machlokes Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. Correct. That's what comes out. But Zok Dinai de Yehuda, he writes like this. He didn't allow you to do the bris the minute the bleeding stops. Right? And then he concludes, listen to this. Who can come argue on them? So even though the Yehuda started off the topic thinking that the way it should go is what? You should never give the baby a bris. He changes the tune at the end of the tshuva. And he writes, well, I have there all these rishonim. Ulechein, im ha-tinek hazeh roim bo shu bari v'chazuk, if he looks strong, kederach kol shar b'nei gimel shonim, he looks like every other three-year-old, he gets into trouble, he makes a mess, he makes his parents nuts, kederach kol shar b'nei gimel, v'gam ma're ponav tzuhuvois, his face looks yellowish, goldish, v'lo yirokois, again, whatever the wrong complexity is supposed to be, yimolu oisoi, v'toiv, make sure the temperature is good. Okay, so the Yehuda passes Allah Lamaisa that he thinks, no, you don't delay the bris forever, like he initially thought, which is what he thinks the riff and the rush hold, but rather he thinks you delay the bris until he gets better, until he proves to us. Now, he doesn't exactly give us a time limit like the Aruch HaShulchan, but he says a three-year-old baby that's acting like a three-year-old, that's definitely good enough to assume that the baby is back to himself and the baby should get a bris mila.
But if you have in general, if you're not talking about a specific issue, then wouldn't somebody could enter into the discussion? Why is that question in general?
But this is the question. The question is, we really don't know what's cooking over here. We don't know what to attribute. We don't know if it's attributing because the baby was not strong enough to handle the bris, or that this body can never handle it. That's what we started off with discussion. We possibly don't know what it's like. We're shooting in the dark. Is there something wrong with the baby that this baby can't handle a bris as such an infant because it's a young body and its body is not mature enough, or it's a din in this body that no matter how old it will get, it will never be able to handle a bris. So that's really the point.
By definition, something.
I would assume these Rishonim held that it's hard to assume that that's the Svara. They don't think it's Mustava to say that this body is something wrong with it. Even though, again, there are probably blood clotting illnesses that are out there that would make sense to exist even after childhood, but I don't know. But I guess that might be the goof of the Machlokes Rishonim. Do we have to assume that that's what's going on over here? The Ksav Sofer has a tshuva over here. Yeah.
Maybe the fact that a woman showed Rabbi Nuss what the baby looked like, maybe he intuited that, oh, this must be what happened with the others.
Possibly.
Why did she have to show him? Why did she have to show him the baby? All I can say is that two kids, they both died. What do I do? The fact that she's showing him what the baby looks like, maybe, you know, and it does imply that, oh, the other two kids look like this as well.
Well, that the Gemara doesn't tell us. The Gemara never tells us that she said, oh, by the way, baby three looked like baby one, number two. That we don't know.
Correct.
That's debatable, but yeah, in theory that couldn't. Yeah, and a Hanami, one could have perhaps learned the Gemara that way. But again, the Gemara seems to be very inconclusive of whether or not this Gemara really is connected to the sugya of Mesa Achav Machmas Milo, or this Gemara is really just a Gemara about blood absorption and blood issues, and that each case has to be handled separately. The Ksav Sofer, the famous son of the Chassam Sofer, I'm still reading the biography of the Chassam Sofer, so it happens to be a very worthwhile read. If you want to read a nice biography, read about the Chassam Sofer's life, his ups and downs of his life, and his, you know, his many different roles as a Rosh Hashiva, as a Dayan, as a Rav. It's well known, they say over the story with the Chassam Sofer, his son was very, very sick as a child when he was seven. He was very, very sick, and the Mamash brought in the Chevre Kedisha. There was that severe. And the Chassam Sofer was called, and he went into a private room, and he said, I just got him a Yovel. I just got him 50 years. And Taka, the Chassam Sofer, died at 57 years old. I think they say for a bar mitzvah present, they gave the Ksav Sofer the candles that the Chevre Kadisha put around his body, anticipating his death, as like a reminder of like, you know, you were that close. But Baruch Hashem, the Ksav Sofer survived, and he lived only till 57, because that's how many years the Ksav Sofer saved him. The Ksav Sofer said, I got you a Yovel, and he gave him a Yovel. So he got 50 years, so he died at 57 years old. There's a whole story with the Ksav Sofer and his first wife. The Ksav Sofer was engaged to a girl, and the girl, rumors came out that she wasn't, wasn't passed to marry the Ksav Sofer's daughter. The way it says it in the book is that apparently she used to go to the theater. Again, obviously the theater is not like it is today, but I guess that was enough to pass her for the Ksav Sofer's, to marry the Ksav Sofer's daughter, the Ksav Sofer. So they broke off the shidduch. And later she got married to a regular wealthy balabos in the neighborhood, in the Pressburg community. And the Chassam Sofer was Mesader, because that was the rabbi's job. He's Mesader Rebbe Chassana. And then he was Mesader at the Chassana. He gave a loud bracha that she should have a lot of children. So someone asked him, why do you do that? He said, because I know that this lady is going to have a lot of tzaris later on in life, because she gave my son a lot of tzaris, because she, I guess, fooled him into thinking she was someone she wasn't. And I didn't want anyone thinking that I didn't give her a big bracha at the chasana. So I gave a beautiful, loud bracha at the chasana. So everyone should know her tzaras didn't come from me. The way the story goes is she ended up getting taka sick, and her husband divorced her. It was a very sad story. Moser Haskell, don't mess with the Chassam Sofer. But in any case, the Chassam Sofer was a very, very powerful yid. There are numerous stories in that book of people who so to say, wronged the Chassam Sofer, and things did not work out well for them. But in any case, so the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva. The Chassam Sofer urged his son, the Ksav Sofer, to write tshuvas. He urged him to write tshuvas. That's why we have a lot of tshuvas Ksav Sofer. He urged his son to write a lot of tshuvas. You have to remember, the Chassam Sofer was much older when he had his first kids. The Chassam Sofer was well into his, I think he was well into his 40s by the time he had his first round of kids. Because he was married to his first wife and she died without having children. Then he married his second wife, was Rebbe Kivega's daughter. That's when he had, I think, something like 7-8 kids. But he was much older when he had his children. So his children were younger when he died. But in any case, so the Ksav Sofer writes like this. So the Ksav Sofer, Shemeso Achim Machmas Mila. The Rebbe betrays him. According to Rebbe, two times is a chazaka. Or the Pshim Gamil betils him. Shuv lo samchin al umnin daitenu kishigagdiv is chazik yoiser. Shenogin moilim oisai. Ulchein amurav. The fishita soid is chazik loiloma klal oilim. So the Ksav Sofer like this. When do we say you never give a bris forever? That's after it's either 2, according to Rebbe, 3, according to Rishon Gamliel. Avol Reb Nosson, we'll go back to the Gemara in Shabbos. Reb Nosson's case, Misafkile, Reb Nosson wasn't sure. Halacha Kiman. I think someone else had this pshat, that maybe Reb Nosson didn't know how do we pass. Do we go like Rebbe, or do we go like Rishon Gamliel? He wasn't sure. So therefore, Reb Nosson was machmir that after 2 babies, he can't give the bris. That's what the Gemara tells us, the Meisi Shnei Benel. That's why the Gemara bothered telling me that the first 2 brothers died. The Besafik Nefash is machmir b'chol makim betray zimni misafik. Because we're talking machmir misafik after 2. But kaimalom, b'kamashmalom, the samach, the smach lomo agimol, v'loi chashina al-had the Meisi achim machmas mila. But he says, but when you have 2, then you'll wait, and when number 3 gets stronger, you'll do it. Meaning, the Ksav Sofer holds like this. When do we say number 3 gets a bris when it gets stronger? That's when you only have 2, and you don't know yet a vade chazaka. When you don't have a vade chazaka, then you don't give a bris initially. But when you see the baby gets stronger, then you give him the bris milo. When do we say that you're allowed to give baby a bris when it gets older? That's only when it's baby number 3. And because there's only 2 who died before, 2 who died before is a machlokes. It's not a vade chazaka. So since it's not a vade chazaka, we have no right to give a bris l'chatchila because of safek b'kuach nefesh. So we don't give the bris, we wait. And when the baby presents that he's strong, then we give him a bris. But he writes, but that's only if it was 2 brothers who died. But if Utaka were to be 3 who died, then the 4th baby would never get a bris. Never. Because then it's so much stronger that he's a meso ochet machmas milo. Avu b'shloisha devadi eschazik loy molam hagamshin eschazim eschazik. Zoktik Ksav a very interesting pshari. He makes an in-between situation. He says, if it was 2 babies and then the 3rd, so that's not a vade meso ochet machmas milo. It's a suffik. So suffik goes both ways. You can't do the bris initially, but when he gets better, you give him a bris. But if it would be avadai, like the case of the Noi Debi Yehuda's case, right? The Noi Debi Yehuda's case, we had 3 babies who died. So according to the Ksav Sofer in the Noi Debi Yehuda's case, you would talk after wait forever. You would not be allowed to give number 4 bris. So clearly the Noi Debi Yehuda did not learn that this Ksav Sofer, but the Ksav Sofer wanted to tell it's a middle ground. And therefore the Gemara in Shabbos is not a raya. The Gemara in Shabbos is beautiful. The Gemara in Shabbos was two died earlier. So then when you have two that died earlier, faker, then you wait to see what happens with number three. And if number three gets better, then you give him the bris. So Zokdech Ksav Sofer, the Gemara in Shabbos was a raya to his yesod. Very, very geschmack comes out according to the Ksav Sofer. Just very quickly, if you look in the Pisrei Tshuva, and that's similar to Shulchan Aruch, he quotes from Yaakov Emden. Yaakov says, what does it mean, Mesa Machmas Mila? This is actually a very interesting discussion. What does it mean the baby died because of the Mila? How do you know that? So Yaakov Emden writes, Nira kol shel hivriya achara mila umes. The baby never recovered from the bris. So Achrayim says, it doesn't mean like the baby, you know, like died on the table, chas v'shalom. It means that at the normal recovery process that's supposed to take place after the bris, this baby never healed. That's why Rabbi Yaakov Emden is magder was, again, this doesn't mean that the baby got, again, there is a discussion, Achrayim, let's say the baby got another infection because of the mila. Let's say because of the mila, the baby got some form of an infection, that infection killed the baby. Would that be considered mesa machmas mila? That's mesa machmas infection. But the infection came because of the mila. So there's a whole interesting literature discussion about what exactly we attribute, or how far do we attribute the mila to the dying. Now, if you just look over here on the next page, page number two, we have over here from the Avnei Nezer, the great Sochet Shavar. So Avnei Nezer writes like this. Look at Avnei Nezer. He wants to be Masber, the Rambam Shita. The Rambam said, if you have two brothers who died Machmas Mila, so the third brother, you wait until he's Yigadol v'yischazei koich. Says the Avnei Nezer, v'hine, ta'as anoy di b'Yehuda v'reb Kiveiga. Reb Kiveiga and the Reb Yehuda hold, sh'hevi d'lav gadlus yidgim l'shonim. It doesn't have to be 13 years old. V'havos ha'ores ra godol k'tas. A little older. You don't need to be a bar mitzvah boy. He writes, anoy di b'Yehuda tziva l'moy l'boy d'ben yidgim l'shonim. The Reb Yehuda gave a bris at three. Points out the Noidi Behuda in the case of the Noidi, points out the Avnei Nezer in the case of the Noidi Behuda. It's not the pshat that the Noidi Behuda thought that 3 years is the mark. It happened to be that at 3 years old, the baby was presenting like a healthy baby. So therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, you see clearly from all these achrayim that we don't really care about a number. He writes, Reb Kiveiger tziva lomul ben shana. Reb Kiveiger held when the baby was 1 year old. The face looked good and there was no weakness. Okay, so Zakt, the point of the Avnei Nezer is that it's not a numbers game. It's not like, oh, we got a certain age. Oh, now we do the bris mila. We don't care about age. Even though, again, the Lashon of the Rambam talks about Yagdil. But Zakt, Avnei Nezer, he quotes in Muki Yosef, but he writes like this, Ulam Hataz. He quotes a Taz in some Reish Samachadal Sef Kon Aleph. The Oral Yisrael, the Mechab over there is talking about a case of an Oral Yisrael. What's an Oral Yisrael? Pirish, who cotton? She efshaloy nimol. He can't get a bris mila. So the Avnei Nezer is medayik from the Taz mevor. It comes out from the Taz. The afshahu godol tzas sheyachol omol acherim adayin katan karele she efshali is nimol vachiyagdo godol mamish. Again, we could debate this raya, but the Avnei Nezer is convinced that he found a raya from a Taz and also from the Nekudas HaKesef, which was the Shach, that he has a raya from a Shach and a Taz that on the case of mesu achiv, you don't give him a bris until he gets 13. Again, the Neid Yehuda is mashma not like that, and the Kiveger is mashma not like that, and the Ksav Sefer is mashma not like that, everyone's mashma not like that. But Zok, the Avnei Nezer, I found the Gevaldik Taz, I found the Shach, that they both seem to imply that when you have a case of Mesa Ochem Machmas Mila, you gotta wait till he turns 13. And the Pella is, why? Like the Aruch HaShulchan told us. Why should this be told in being Bar Mitzvah? So it comes along the Avnei Nezer, the Sochet Shav, with a Gevaldik Alumnus. He writes like this, Ach Lehovin Tamadov, what's the Pshat? He says, again, if the reason why we wait is because we're afraid his body can't handle it, why does it have to be bar mitzvah? What does bar mitzvah change? So he says like this, okay, nearly. Even if he gets bigger, and the doctor said there's no danger, the doctor's estimation and touch up their evaluation does not make it for sure. After shuvein edoich achshash rachokes amitzvus mila, nonetheless we're balancing this. Zokta Avnei Nezer. On one hand, the doctor's evaluation that the baby is safe is not 100%. Take it to the bank. But ach the shuvein edoich achshash rachokes amitzvus mila doesn't. We now no longer cannot do bris mila. The chol she'ene shchichi hazeka oimim shluchei mitzvah in nizakin. Zokta Avnei Nezer like this. Once we took it out of being a vade hazeka, so now it's a low level hezek, low level probability. And then we have a rule, shluchei mitzvah einu nizakin. Ach sheyismech odom al anes afemakim b'shrichi zeka, loy matzina elohu ba'atzmoi. Zokta Abnezer, when do I have the right to put myself into a small sakana for a mitzvah? That's if it's my mitzvah. When do we say shluche mitzvah in a nizakin? Someone who's on the way to do a mitzvah doesn't get harmed if it's his mitzvah. Val Kane calls man shalei godel imoyle nois lavi l'dichshash l'kan apa even rachuk. Zokta Abnezer, but until the kid turns 13, it's not his mitzvah. It's dad's mitzvah. So you can't put baby in sakana for dad's mitzvah. So therefore, Zokta Abnezer, you have to wait till he turns 13. Now that he's 13, it's his mitzvah. So now that even though there's a low-level chance of danger, we can apply the rule of shluche mitzvah in a nizakin. Now this Abnezer is against...
Rabbi, didn't we say once the Chakira, the question is, whose chiyuv is it? Is it the father?
Exactly.
Or his?
This Abnezer is against all the lumnus we said 2 weeks ago. We said 2 weeks ago, we proved from Reb Zelig and we proved from others that it's really the baby's bris, but the father is the one who does it. This Lechair is against that. The Abnezer is assuming... Yeah, 100%. That's why I put it on the paper. This Abnezer is Lechair assuming that for the din of Shluche Mitzvah in Nizokin, it has to be your mitzvah. So it sounds like over there that he's assuming not like all the lomnus we said till now. The Eretz Tzvi is the Klozhegover. The Klozhegover Rebbe. The Klozhegover Rebbe was Reb Tzvi Freimer. Reb Tzvi Freimer was the Talmud of the Abnezer. He was the Rav of Klozhegov. But then he ultimately took over the Lublin Yeshiva. Reb Tzvi Freimer was the Yeshiva of the Lublin Yeshiva after Meir Shapiro died. And he took the Yeshiva up till the Holocaust. He was in the Warsaw Ghetto along with Rebbe Nachum Zemba and some other Gedolim. But he was removed in one of the transports. He went, the way the story is recorded, he went to the gas chambers dancing and singing with Simcha Rabbah to proclaim, you know, dying al Kiddush Hashem. That's the Tzvi Freimer. Supposedly there's the Freimer wing. He had a brother who survived the Holocaust, donated some money to YU. Supposedly somewhere in YU there's the Freimer library or the Freimer wing somewhere in YU. That's what I heard from Rabbi Simon. I did not see it with my own eyes. But in any case, it's interesting. The Eretz Tzvi was a Talmud of Abnezer, and here he disagrees with his Rebbe. He writes about his Rebbe in his Daiti Haklusha. He doesn't like his Rebbe's pshat. Again, we're trying to figure out why would the Rambam, or why would the Shach and Taz hold, you wait till he turns a godless. Well, what does godless have to do with anything? So Zokta Klozhegov, Zokta the Eretz Tzvi, Tzvi Freimer, I don't like referring to him as the Klozhegov, because I think based on what I read, he wasn't the Rav and Klozhegov for so long. So I think we should really refer to him either by the name of his sefer Eretz Tzvi, or refer to him as the Lublin Rosh Hashiva, which that position he held for 6 years. Meir Shapiro died in 1933, 1934, so he had it till the Holocaust. In any case, it's also a lot harder to pronounce Klozhegov. It took me many, many attempts to practice getting that name right. Now, Baruch Hashem, I can say it, but in my early years, it was very hard to say. But in any case, so Tzvi Freimer in the Eretz Tzvi, he writes like this, Oy Tam Luzeh. So another pshat in why perhaps there'd be a shita that holds that if the two brothers died because of Mila, the third brother, even if he's showing all physical signs of healthy, he has to wait till he becomes a bar mitzvah. It's very strange. So he writes it this. Based on a Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, he writes, Yesh chet she'adin noisin shenifram mimenu. There are some sins that we do that we get punished. Oy bibanov haktanim. Sometimes we get punished by our children's suffering. Very scary, Rambam. The Rambam says, small children, they don't do any avirus, they have no das. So why should bad things befall them? There it is, it's a punishment for what the parents did wrong. That's exactly the Rambam. So there was Zakhtab Chief Firm like this, Im Kain, Mashemeis Koidim Shabal Chal Mitzvahs, if the baby's going to die before he's 13, Efshashayu Ba'avoy Nav. Maybe that's because the father's a sinner. Umashayib Shasmila Adas Noifal Turo Chadul Sakina. So Zokta like this. There's no raya that a baby that dies before 13 that will die after 13. I mean, Zokta Klozhegov, it's very possible that this baby might die even if he's strong because it's a punishment for the father. So we need him to cross the 13-year-old age. Now he's his own person. Now he no longer is bound by his father's shortcomings. And therefore, now we can say that he's no longer going to die because of the Mila itself, even at Balvor, his parents' sins. Okay? Then he writes another pshat, Oydei Shloimar. Im neima the mitzvah mila shel kodin rakal aviv oyal abez, then he goes back to Arshtikal Torah. If the mitzvah is on the kid, vakotin hu oz kemoi chifetz mitzvah, and the baby is like a chefetz of the mitzvah, loy mikayim mitzvah kemoi the kodin pot b'chal mitzvahs. Gam kin in rai mikodin shemeis machmas mila, the oz l'shayach mitzvah megina. You can't say the mitzvah is going to protect him. V'nimtza kimin shein ha mitzvah shel kodin. Here's, it's funny, because this is what the Adonai really said. Here the Klozhegov is saying the same Svara. Valkein ein moil chazaka shel katnas legadlos. He says that you can't use a chazaka from a katan to a gadol. Kivin deyesh chiluk atzim. Okay, we'll leave off for now. I just want to wrap up one last nekuda. It's from the sefer they call from Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan. Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan spoke to hell. You have to wait till the baby's either 15 or 16. Meisa achem achos mila. So far, I have three shittas. The riff in the rush hold meisa achem achos mila. He never gets a bris. The other shetam hold when he gets stronger, which is hakol lefi cher pasay. Then we have the Avinezer that holds when he's 13. Then we have Yitzchak Chanan who says when he turns 15 or 16. And the last shayla I put over here, number 16, we're going to have to stop here, or I'm going to have very unhappy children in a second, is what happens if you have two twin boys that are born, and they both get bris milah, and they both die? Do we say the third brother is Mesa Achim Achmas Milah? What's the shayla? Because we know twins are by nature shvacher. So can we say that maybe the twins, the reason why the two brothers died wasn't because it's a family genetic, but the two are punk twins. And twins are shvacher. So in number 16, I had a halshayl over here, machloikis achreinim, raksav seifer, another achreinim, what happens when you have twins? But lineda, what I want to get into next week is really source number 17 and 18, is a gavaldik shayl from the Oini Gyumtif. The shayl from the Oini Gyumtif is, what happens if you have a choyla who's besakona, and the doctors tell him on Leil Pesach, don't eat matzah. Don't eat matzah. But he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's going to eat matzah. Fine. And he eats the matzah in his unhealthy state. He eats the matzah. 2 hours later, gets better. Does he have to re-eat the matzah again? Do we say that the matzah that he ate, the aveira, does not count? Because he ate that matzah by aveira. The doctor told him not to eat it. Or do we say, no, that matzah that he ate was yotzeh, and he doesn't have to re-eat new matzah. Now you'll ask me, what does that have to do with our sugya? So we'll see how this perhaps connects to a case where if someone gave the baby, let's say you had a baby who was bisakana. Baby was bisakana. The doctor said, don't touch him. And the moyel said, I know better. And the taka gave the baby a bris. Would that be a valid mila or not? So Belina, the next week, we'll talk about that and we'll move on to some more sugyas in Reb Loz de Mila. And we'll hopefully we'll start the poll, Michael. I gave you a new job to see what the Olam wants to continue learning after Elozman. And we'll see from this week, Rabbi said, the halacha share is Wednesday night, not Tuesday night. It's going to be 8:45. We're going to be discussing what happens when you find a psul in the Sefer Torah during the laning. Every rabbi's nightmare. What do you do when you find a psul in the Sefer Torah? Everyone, you know, huddles around the Sefer Torah. No one really knows what to do. What are you supposed to do? And it's especially, it's even worse when it's Shabbos. You can't even call anyone. What do you do when you find a psul in the Sefer Torah? What should one do? Belinette, we'll talk about that Wednesday night at 8:45. Have a wonderful week. Be well, be safe, and enjoy.
Take care, Rabbi.